Hey, it's Steve Imke. In the fall of 2016, I had an opportunity to spend two nights with a class full of hobbyists that wanted to learn how to take a hobby that they love and turn it into a viable business. During those two nights, I took them on a journey of business entrepreneurship. I'm sorry you didn't make it, and I hope this is the next best thing. Here are excerpts from that live event. Hope you enjoy it. But even more important, I hope it inspires you to get off the couch and do something with it. Thanks for listening. Let's talk about funding the business. There's two different types of funding sources. Equity, which is stock, essentially, that you own in a business. Usually it comes from personal savings, partners, friends, families, that kind of stuff that funds it. Or what I like to think about, there's actually another one that sits in the middle of that where you get your customer to fund it, like that example I gave you earlier with Ron Munns, one of my mentors. And then we have debt, which does not signify any kind of ownership when you do that. So one of the things I need to help you understand here is that there's a debt continuum. We have what we call institutional banks. These are the Wells Fargo's, U.S. banks of the world. They are very, very conservative with their money. By the way, banks, by their definition, are FDIC insured, if they're a credit union, NAUA, or whatever that version is. So their depositors' money is insured by the federal government, and as a result of that, they are forced to be less risky with their money. They need to have huge coverage ratios so they know that whatever money they loan, they're going to get back. And they need collateral, they need all these different things to kind of cover all that. So banks are very difficult to get money from. But, so let's go back to this continuum. So we have institutional banks on one end. This institutional bank, quite frankly, is, you kind of have vice president next to their name, but quite frankly, you can't make a decision about it, because yes, all the boxes have to be checked, and they got no lines outside the box, or it doesn't happen. The reason that they provide the best rates, generally speaking, is there's like zero flexibility that they have. So it's just very automated. You have to have all these things checked, ding, 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 ding. You got them all, you're good. Oh, you have a credit score that's 1 point below the threshold. I can't do anything. You're finished. You're done. You're out of the system. Because there's no decision-making process in there. Very mechanical. We also have what we call community banks. They're still banks, all right. And the difference is they're generally in a community. And they'll invest a little bit more in a community. And the way I like to describe this is I had a landscaper business, or a company, I should say, that was a client. And they went to an institutional bank. And the institutional bank said, I'm sorry, but I can't give you the loan for your fleet vehicle, basically a dump truck that he was going to use in the summertime for landscaping and in the winter for snow removal. And he said, because you don't make enough money in the wintertime to pay your payment. Finish the end. We have 12 monthly payments, and you just didn't have enough in the wintertime. The community bank says, I can work it out, because I'm just going to have you make 6 payments all during the summer. You paid the same amount. You paid double payments for those 6 months during the summer, but see, they could provide a little bit of intelligence in there because they were investing in their community. Then we go a little bit further. We have what we call specialty lenders. These are people who might just do lease back kind of thing. So for a leasing company. So you might buy something. They own the asset, give you a payment plan, and at the end of that particular lease thing, you can buy it at a salvage value. And now, because you're in business for a number of years, you can go back to the institutional bank and you can finance what the salvage value is. So you buy a fleet vehicle, you lease it for a couple of years, then you buy it for half the price of what it really was. But now you've been in business for a number of years, you bring it over here and you finance the rest of it through an institutional bank or a community bank. Does that make sense? To kind of do it. But guess what? You got, because it represents more risk, they want more reward. So as we sit there and we take a look at things, if it's a risky investment, it's definitely on the equity side. If it's less risky, it's going to be more on the debt side. So I think about this. If I develop a software product, research and development, is there anything I can repossess if that business goes bad? Nothing. Huge risk, right? Has to be funded by equity. Oil and gas business that I'm in. You drill a hole, comes out dry, guess what? Nothing to repossess. Definitely has to be equity. You got equipment in here. So maybe you've got some specialized equipment. You've got serger machine or something like that. The bank doesn't really want to own it, but quite frankly, it's an asset that if they had to go ahead and sell it to some kind of wholesaler, they could in fact liquidate it, but they'd have to take a steep discount because it's not hugely liquid. Inventory. Now, that's a different thing, because that they could easily get rid of that. So if you think about a vehicle, we give a lot of debt on vehicle, because if you stop making payments on it, I'll send it out there, and I got a ready market to sell your vehicle. There's a whole industry in there that does nothing but disposes of vehicles and houses and everything else like that. So these are that's where the debt market is. And the closer you get to the more risky you get, the more likely you are going to have to fund this with some form of an equity type of a scenario here. This is some typical funding sources. Most businesses almost 80% come from personal savings. We'll talk quickly about some of that. Friends and family, 23%. If you add up all this, you're going to say, Steve, it adds up to way more than 100. Well, because, quite frankly, you could have a business that is funded both personal savings and through credit cards. So that's why they don't add up. But I'm just saying, so of all businesses that are started, 79% of them have some form of personal savings in there. Okay, look where bank loans is. 7% of businesses have any portion of their business funded through a bank loan. And it's almost inversely flipped. That's how people kind of think about that. They say, oh, I'm going to go get that funded from a bank. And in fact, it's not like that at all. If you do that, they have what they call the 5 C's of credit. So one's your character. Basically, that's your FICO score. And by the way, I have a great blog post in there that really talks about what makes up a credit score, by the way, and you'd be surprised. It's not only about credit that you've made. You can have a lot of missed payments, for example, and still have a decent credit score if you don't have a lot of debt and it's in the right avenues and stuff like that. The cash flow. You have to have what they call coverage ratio. You have to have more money coming in to cover that. The collateral itself, they're always going to want collateral that's going to cover that. So if you buy iron, tangible assets, that's where that collateral comes from, right? They're eager to give you a loan for a truck or a house because it in itself becomes tangible. Right? You want to go get a line of credit for working capital so that you can go ahead and cover accounts receivables, which is not tangible, much harder to get. And I should probably say when you get the specialty lenders, which I talked about, the lease people, that kind of stuff, then you start getting out to the really fringy guys that actually do the accounts receivable lending and some other kind of stuff. And each time it moves out, it gets a little bit more expensive. Okay, capital that you have and the conditions that you're in and what kind of a market it is. These are what they call the 5 C's of credit. The lender has 3 controls. I want you to be clear of that. We're all aware of interest rates, but there's also terms and down payment. So when I like to tell the story, I said, my son just bought a brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee. He had financed it for 8 years. He put nothing down, and I think it's 1%. Now, if you were to buy that exact same vehicle for a fleet vehicle, you'd probably put 30% down. You wouldn't be able to finance it for 8 years. You'd probably be able to finance it for 3 years. And your interest rate wouldn't be 1, it would probably be like 6. Same vehicle, one's financed through the business, one's financed personally. Because you have to understand, and if you say interest rates are really important to me, they say, no problem, we'll ratchet those interest rates down for you, but something else has got to move up. It's a volume thing, right? So it's a cube. So you squeeze it one way, it bulges out in another way. It's kind of how I kind of think about that. So it's all the same for them, because they know how long it's going to take and whatever the case is, and they know what numbers they have to hit.
Thank you for listening to How to Turn My Hobby into a Full-Fledged Business. To learn more about Steve Emke, or to learn more about what it takes to own and operate a small business, please visit stevebizblog.com. That's stevebizblog.com. Or look for Steve's many books on various aspects of small business ownership at amazon.com or at stevebizblog.com.